How do we change this country? How do we change our world for good? We're going to talk about that right now with Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmitt. And he has a new website called schoolofliberty.org. And it's all about a book that is called How to Liberate the World in 30 Days. Chaplain, it's great to talk with you.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you. I've known you for so many years, leading back to the time when Dr. D. James Kennedy helped me as a Navy chaplain, featured me on his show when I was punished by the U.S. Navy for praying in Jesus' name in my uniform outside of Sunday Chapel. So we mobilized 300,000 Americans to petition Congress. We changed the law. We were vindicated by Congress, even though I lost my career. Congress restored the rights of chaplains to pray in Jesus' name. So I've had a brief career in politics since then, about 12 years as a full-time activist, and I was elected to the Colorado legislature. I served 2 years in the House of Representatives here in the state of Colorado, and now I've written a book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days, a step-by-step guide to take back your country.
All right, and pray in Jesus' name, that's kind of your main moniker, right?
That's our brand, yes.
Yeah,
of course, that's what I became famous for. I was the chaplain who dared to pray in Jesus' name when the government said that was illegal.
All right, good. Well, good for you. That's I'm serious. That's very, very important. Okay, how to liberate the world in 30 days. What is this book all about?
Well, it is a 30-day devotional, and there's a prayer at the end of every chapter. But it's also got 30 powerful political tools that ordinary grassroots citizens can use to take back their country. For example, we have a chapter on how to write a press release to get interviews for your issue. We have a chapter on how to organize a petition drive and grow the size of your army, how to organize your email list and grow the size of your army, how to lobby your congressman or testify before a committee in the state house, and eventually how to run for office and win, like I did, a seat in the legislature. So if any Christian is out there and you're wringing your hands and you're saying, you know, our culture is just going in the wrong direction, well, this book will teach you how to fix that and how to take back your country. Again, the title, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days, and it is available on Amazon and the WND Superstore. But you can get the first chapter free right now if you visit schoolofliberty.org.
All right, that schoolofliberty.org. Okay, so let me ask you this, Chaplain. I mean, you know, and I know, there have been many good, well-meaning Christians, committed Christians even, who've been elected to office and so forth, and it's still not turning around. How do we deal with this?
Well, we need to increase our numbers. You know, the left has not abandoned the battlefield, and the anti-Christian complainers often file frivolous lawsuits. You know, what they try to do, for example, to silence chaplains or pastors from praying in Jesus' name, and they know they're outnumbered. The atheists don't have more voters than the Christians do, but they file these frivolous lawsuits and they get liberal judges to rewrite the Constitution the way our founding fathers never intended. So I think our job as Christians, especially within the Republican Party, I wouldn't say we have a majority nationwide anymore, but certainly within the Republican Party, we can take back the old, you know, our own nominees for state house, for county commissioner, for city council, and ultimately to the U.S. Congress. We need more Christian conservatives in public office, and we need to outnumber, at least within our own party, what some people call the rhinos, or Republicans in name only, the people who pretend to share our Republican or conservative principles, but actually when they get elected, they do the opposite of what they campaigned on. So those flip-floppers need to be voted out, and real Christian conservatives need to be voted in. And that's why people should buy my book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days. We're going to teach you how to hold elected officials accountable. Even if you never get elected yourself, we're going to give you powerful tools how to write a press release, how to get interviews, how to grow the size of your army, how to recruit volunteers, how to find good candidates to knock on doors for, and how to avoid those candidates that really are not going to represent you, even if you support them. We need to have Christian conservatives elected to public office.
Now, it would be safe to say that at least some Democrats are Christians. I mean, I know of a context in which a very good Christian man was a mayor for a long time, but the only way he could have been elected in that particular context was as a Democrat, and thankfully he stood for Christian principles, but that put him out, you know, certainly not in the mainstream of the Democratic Party, certainly not as it is today. All this to say that obviously we want to be bipartisan, but in the meantime, what really counts is the Christian principles that the politician holds to.
Yes, although I happen to be Republican, I have met some very principled Christian Democrats, but they're going the way of the dinosaur, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. It seems like, for example, if they're pro-life, you know, the pressure is against them to, you know, compromise on that issue.
Yes, to find a Democrat who won't support abortion is a rare person indeed, and they have to have a lot of great courage within their own party to stand for pro-life principles or to stand for traditional marriage. Because the far left, I'll be honest, I have seen how the Democrat Party worked in Colorado, and they are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the LGBT lobbyist movement. So here in Colorado, any Christian who runs as a Democrat would immediately be primaried and outspent by the homosexual left. And they can't even win a majority within their own party. Well, we should have better luck in the Republican Party, I think, to at least be able to elect Christian conservatives. Polls show that about a third of Americans read their Bible outside of church. About a third of Americans claim to have a born-again experience. About a third of Americans believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, if half of America is Democrat and half of America is Republican, you know, not counting, I know there's probably 1 or 2% that are on the fringe group. But in the left and right spectrum, I would say the evangelical community can hold up to 2/3 of the conservative side of the half of the country. So 2/3 of either the Republican Party or the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party, you know, there's some conservative parties out there. But I'm saying if we have at least tried to raise the bar and get 2/3 of the conservative movement to also be evangelical Christians, then we can make a difference. And we can dictate, for example, the Republican platform. We can, you know, tell people what our principles are and campaign on those, and then vote against the rhinos who will not adhere to those conservative principles. We need to find out what we stand for as a party, and make sure that we hold elected officials accountable, that they're not going to say one thing and then do another after they get elected.
Well, do you think, though, Chaplain, that maybe there's a scenario where there's a lot of people who will, let's say they're lock, stock, and barrel conservative Christians, and they go off to Washington, D.C. to make a difference, and, you know, before you know it, after a while, there's one compromise here and another compromise there. And, you know, maybe there's something in that water in Washington, D.C. I don't know. But it's very sad to see, you know, things in the big picture seem to be getting worse. I mean, Planned Parenthood is still being funded, right? Obamacare is still the law of the land. There's same-sex marriage imposed on us by judicial fiat, and on it goes. Religious liberty is at risk in these days?
Well, I think you're right. And the problem isn't necessarily the voters. The problem is the big money corporations that buy politicians in Washington, D.C. And we refer to the swamp in D.C., or people drink the water, but really it comes down to money. And you saw a bad example, I think, in the recent primary in Alabama, where Luther Strange, who does not hold all of our Christian values, earned, I suppose, $30 million in spending on his behalf by Mitch McConnell and the big money establishment. But the principled conservative, Judge Roy Moore, my dear friend, he stands for principle, and he was only able to raise and spend perhaps $3 million. So even though he was outspent, 10-1. He had a grassroots army of volunteers that Luther Strange did not have.
Right.
Roy Moore mobilized the grassroots, and that's what I teach people how to do in our School of Liberty. When you visit schoolofliberty.org, we're going to teach you how to mobilize a grassroots army of volunteers, not just for your candidate, but for your favorite political cause. Maybe you care about gun rights. Maybe you care about pro-life. Maybe you care about parental rights or homeschooling or whatever your favorite issue is. We're going to teach you how to run an issue campaign and get a good initiative passed in your own city council or in your own county commission. Or, heaven forbid, even at your state capitol. I was a legislator in the Colorado state capitol, and we were able to pass or amend some good laws. But it takes citizen initiative, and it takes grassroots citizens showing up to the Capitol to compete with those lobbyist dollars.
What would you say to those Christians, and it would be hard to believe somebody would still say this in the year of our Lord 2017, oh, Christians have no right to be in politics?
Well, I think that's foolish. The Constitution says the opposite. The Constitution says there shall be no religious litmus test for public office. So if you're Muslim or Jewish, you have a right to run for office. But if you're Christian, I think you have an obligation to serve your country in some way. I think, you know, God's word, the Bible, commands us. And I remember when Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, up in heaven, God already rules. But down here on earth, it's not always the case. There are some places where God's will is not done. We read about sin every day in the newspapers. Just look at what happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That was not the will of God. So we need to stand up for what is the will of God and bring his will down here to earth the same way it's already being done in heaven. And I think one way to do that is to get involved in politics. The church should become the state. The church should take over the government, especially Christian voters. If you're not going to run for office, at least learn how to run a grassroots campaign. And we can teach you how to do that when you buy the book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days, or when you get the first chapter absolutely free at our website, schoolofliberty.org.
And thus endeth the commercial. Okay, so let me ask you this. Was there some sort of incident that actually, it happened and you thought, oh, man, I got to write a book about this, and this is the book you wrote?
Actually, there were 15 events, and we have 15 very short stories inside of the book that recount the political victories that we've had, that our ministry has had, in grassroots activism. Winning elected office was only one of those 15 stories. But we have also defended and restored the freedom to pray in Jesus' name in about 13 states around America. So, for example, in the book, we talk about the victory story in Florida when hospital chaplain Danny Harvey got fired for praying in Jesus' name. We held a rally, and we had 1,200 citizens march around the hospital in silent protest, and the CEO of the hospital resigned in the face of public scandal.
Wow.
And Chaplain Harvey was restored in some way. They allowed chaplains to pray in Jesus' name. Or how about in Virginia when we did the same thing for police chaplains? We organized 1,000 people to march on the governor's mansion, and the policy was eventually changed when we helped elect a new governor and restored the rights of police chaplains to pray in Jesus' name. We've done that in state after state, Indiana, New York, Oklahoma, Oregon, California. We had 400 people show up at a city council meeting in Lodi, California, and we forced the mayor to repent and restore freedom for pastors to pray in Jesus' name. So we recount all of these stories, and it's very exciting and very encouraging. You'll know exactly how to take back your country if you buy the book, How to Liberate the World in 30 Days.
All right. We're basically out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Chaplain Klingenschmidt. And the website to refer people to is schoolofliberty.org. Thanks again for being with us, chaps. God bless you.
God bless you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.